Welcome to Mr. Wrestling Theater 420.
Your semi-favorite.
Inconsistent.
Incorrect.
Incoherent.
Inappropriate.
Unprofessional.
Sometimes weekly.
Wrestling-based podcast.
On Anchor.fm.
It's Tuesday. You know what that means.
What the fuck is up? Mr. Wrestling Theater 420, episode 86, season 3, episode 39. A break from wrestling.
Yeah. It's a good name. Quick happy birthday to Dick Murdoch, Big Cass, and Cedric Alexander.
Okay. And strain of the day is garlic breath.
Yeah. I'm smoking apple sherbet.
Oh, okay. That sounds much better than garlic breath.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're on the phone again.
Yep.
We got taking a break from wrestling. That was the plan.
Yeah,
I mean, we aren't going to talk anything about wrestling, but I don't see that happening right away.
Yeah.
So I did assign some stuff, but I'm free to talk about anything you want to talk about.
True. I know you assigned me Star Wars.
Right.
So, I have a few complaints.
You have a few complaints. Go ahead.
My first, like, kind of ranty bitch thing is everyone gives the newest, like the sequel trilogy, the newest one that just came out with Rey, a lot of flack, right?
Last Jedi?
Yeah, Last Jedi, like Rise of Skywalker and Force Awakens, like all three of those movies as a whole. A lot of people were disappointed in them, you know? But, you know, and they like, people probably say, well, if George Lucas did it, it would be better and all that. I have my problems with that because I find that those movies weren't that bad after all. I was a little disappointed in Rey like being Palpatine's granddaughter or whatever, which it was a twist though, you know, but I felt like they could have done a little bit better with that backstory somehow. Exactly. It is what it is. And a lot of fandoms are fucking toxic at times.
Yeah.
So...
Two of them right there, but, Star Wars and fucking wrestling.
Yeah. But like my other issue is, you know, George Lucas did the you know, prequel trilogy and the original, and there were like holes in the story. Though. You know?
The movie's based on a plot hole. He built a Death Star with one little fucking tiny exhaust port you could have fucking exploit.
Yeah.
The whole thing's built on a plot hole.
I'm just like, it's because, like, you know, like the fact that in Return of the Jedi, Leia talks about remembering her real mom, but they were both like born and she died during childbirth. He wrote these movies. He couldn't like remember that.
No, he forgot. It's like, a lot of weird shit you gotta come up with. Could have been some serious LSD at that time.
Probably was.
Detail.
Yeah, I'm just saying. You know, you wrote both of them. You could have at least made them match a little better.
Yeah. Or just do more LSD and just try to fucking throw some random shit off the wall.
Yeah, and that's why we have Jar Jar Binks, right?
Yeah, essentially. A few other ones too, but Jar Jar's definitely top of that list. Anybody from the cabana, really.
Oh god. I don't know. That was one of them.
Complaint two.
Complaint number two. Now, not everybody has watched the entire Clone Wars like cartoon show. But I feel like that show as a whole is way better than the whole prequel trilogy.
Yeah, but then you don't get the pod race and shit.
The pod race isn't bad. I'm not saying don't watch it. I'm just saying it's better. Also, I feel like Anakin in the prequel trilogy, like live action, is just whiny and annoying. But Anakin in the Clone Wars was actually a decent character. Just saying.
One's animated, one's fucking... One is fucking annoying. I will give you that.
Especially once, like, I'd rather deal with little kid Anakin than... I'd rather deal with teenage whiny emo Anakin.
Teenage emo Anakin is like my fucking like It's probably right up there with Jar Jar Binks for me. Like, it's pretty bad. Like, dude, shut up.
Jar Jar's not that bad when you're really, really high. I found that out, though. Like, I deal with Jar Jar before I deal with whiny emo Anakin.
They're pretty close.
Yeah. They're close, but... I happened to watch episode 2 very recently and realized, like, why I hate that one. I think that's the one I hate the most. If I have to pick one out of the 9 actual episodes, I pick number 2 as the one I hate the most.
Yeah, probably. I mean...
I'm just gonna say it because, like... Yeah, there was a couple cool battle scenes, but I still think episode 1's better than that because you get the pod race and you still get a cool battle scene. I don't know. Two suck.
I like Rogue One better than any of the fucking first 3.
Yeah. I watched Solo again recently and I realized that wasn't such a bad one either. Because the one thing that I did like that they did with that movie is like really capture Chewie, Chewbacca, and Solo's like the way they are in the movie, like the older movies. They did pretty good with that relationship. And it wasn't a bad movie as a whole. That's probably better than most of the prequel ones too.
I'll take credit for that. I don't remember watching Solo.
Solo's not bad. I watched it one time, like, not long after, like, when it first came out, like, to, like, DVD or whatever. I feel old saying that. Like, shit just comes out to, like, streaming now. But, I watched it again recently just because I hadn't seen it in a while. And I'm like, it wasn't bad. I mean, Rogue One is still better out of those two, though.
Yeah,
Rogue One is one of the best ones. They're actually doing some prequel kind of series to that with the Cassian Andor dude, the dude who had the robot in Rogue One. So that'll be interesting to see how that goes. I still haven't even seen the Obi-Wan Kenobi show yet, which is surprising because I love Obi-Wan Kenobi. So
I haven't seen it yet either. I don't remember watching the second season of Mandalorian either, so I'm kind of way behind on that.
Yeah, because it is like I haven't seen the Book of Boba Fett, which is basically Mandalorian season 3. I ended up finding out because you know, you see little things get spoiled because of Facebook, just like with wrestling.
Yeah, I also didn't watch that, obviously.
Yeah, I didn't watch that either. I gotta catch up on it. This has sparked an interest again, so I'm probably about to go on a little kick.
All right, what else you got?
I don't know. I think that's it.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, I don't know. That's what I could come up with off the top of my head. What do you got?
Well, you assigned me American Horror Story.
Yeah.
I don't have shit prepared for that. So we're just going to read through the seasons and we're going to talk shit about them together.
All right, that works.
So season number 1, Murder House.
I mean,
12 episodes.
I like that one.
Yeah, I like Murder House a lot.
It's one of my favorites. I don't know if it's my all-time favorite, but it's up there in the top 3.
I think without knowing the rest, I'm gonna put it at number 1 right now.
Yeah.
I might change that. I mean, just 10. So.
Yeah.
But right now, it's number 1. Asylum.
Asylum's probably my number 3, but it is a good one. I think if you just took out the whole aliens part of it.
What the fuck was that, dude? That was like the worst thing in the world. That pissed me off so much.
Yeah, it did. It really fucking did.
What the fuck?
I was like, if you just left it with this spooky fucking, like, you know, like, devil-y shit that was going on and the Nazi fucking scientist fucking doctor guy, like, if you just left it with all that kind of creepy aspects, it would have been perfectly fine.
No, you had to fucking add something else fucking weird to it.
Yeah.
I'm probably going to put it at 4, but again, it may move.
Yeah.
Next, we have Coven. Coven. Jesus Christ, I can't talk. That's the witch one.
Yeah. I didn't mind Coven. It just, like, I feel like that season it lost a little bit of something from what the two seasons before it were.
I liked it. It was different, but I did like it. I'm probably going to put it at 3, honestly.
I would definitely put it at, like, 4.
So we're going to flip-flop those two then, huh?
Yeah.
That's fine. That's what happens.
Because it was a good one. Story-wise, I really liked it. It just, the first two had a little bit more of a creep fare.
Yeah. It was a little lighthearted, but I liked it. Then we have Freak Show.
This is probably one of my, this is like middle of the road for me.
Yeah, I was going to throw it at 6.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say 6. That's very accurate. Because it wasn't bad, but it definitely wasn't any of my favorites.
No. Yeah, like you said, very, very middle of the road one for me too. So I'll throw it in at like 6.
All right, yeah.
Next we have Hotel.
This is my number one.
I'm putting that at 2. Murder House and then Hotel. I like that. That works for me. You there? Hello? Gonna stop.
I'm here.
Okay.
My phone, like, went to sleep, and I didn't know that that stopped the freaking microphone.
It stops the fucking microphone. We're on Hotel.
I'm gonna put
that at 2.
Yeah, I'm putting Hotel at, Hotel's my number one. So, we're just flip-flopped again.
That's fine. Roanoke, 10.
Oh, this is my least favorite.
It's 10 seasons. It's number 10.
Okay.
Easily, I hate this fucking season.
Yeah, it is the worst season ever. I had no idea where they were going with it. I'm like, oh, it's all fake. Then no, it's not supposed to be fake. It was stupid. I hated the reality TV feel of it. It was horrible.
Yeah, I hated that weird ghost hunter documentary style thing.
Yeah, I did not like that at all.
Bad. I hated it. Next, we have Cult.
That's like number 9.
Yeah, I was going to say 8, but it might be number 9. It's definitely there. It's that cool scene with the shooting or whatever. But then, like, they overplayed it because, like, they told you, oh, this is going to be a graphic thing coming up, blah, 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 blah. Don't watch it with kids.
Yeah.
They really didn't show much, but.
True.
I was going to put it at 8 anyway.
All right, I'm sticking that one at 9 still.
Okay. Apocalypse.
Apocalypse is like 5.
Yeah, I think I'm at like 6 because I put Freak Show at 5. So maybe make that at 5 and then Freak Show at 6.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
I like that one too. That was good. Play back to Coven a little bit. Play back to Murder House a little bit.
Yeah, merge those two storylines together. That's why it's like right under Coven for me.
Right. 1984, which was good because it was campy and stupid.
This is my number 8 because of how campy and stupid it was. Like, but it still, it made me laugh. It was actually a comedy season to me.
Yeah, it's either 7 or 8, wherever I'm at there. And I guess it can go like vice versa. He would fucking double feature, honestly.
Because, like I'll put 1984 at 8, and 7 would probably be double feature, because the first half of double feature was really good.
Yeah.
I like that one. Then they went aliens again, and it was the most retarded thing, and I watched an episode and was like, I'm done with this one.
Yeah, I don't know. It was fucking strange.
Which is why it could definitely flip-flop with, like, 1984 for the number 8 spot, probably, but it was just stupid. I'm like, they did aliens again. They ruined it. See, they need to not do aliens. It ruined shit.
Yeah, stop with the fucking aliens.
Yeah.
I mean, I like aliens. I just don't I was watching something fucking gothically. I wanted to watch that. Not fucking aliens out of nowhere.
Yep.
It's not the swerve I'm looking for, Russo.
Yo, the first half's Cornette, the second half's Russo.
Man, Pritchett.
Yep.
Is an alien. Actually, I guess in theory it'd be fucking Tony Khan since he has Statlander.
Yeah.
And she's not an alien anymore. She was an alien, and she'll be an alien again at some point.
I'm sure she will, her boop thing.
Yeah.
Boop.
Stupid fucking thing that is.
Tony Khan's probably okay with half of it because he's on coke anyway.
He don't give a fuck.
He does not give a fuck at all.
He's just spending money. He's just spending money like left and right all of a sudden too, bring back all kinds of people.
He did. I did see that. I did see he's brought back all, like, he brought Scarlett and Cross back, which I was like, all right, cool. And they're not going to do, like, with Trips in Charge, I feel like that will be done right.
It'd be done better. More Killer Cross than fucking Gladiator Helmet Cross.
Yeah, that was so fucking stupid. Good thing they did away with that. We already know he brought back EO and Dakota.
Yeah. Dexter Loomis.
Dexter Loomis. Who else was on that list?
Hit Row, all but fucking Swerve. So
because Swerve's stuck in AEW right now. I'm sure if he wasn't, he'd come back. I'm sure if fucking Keith Lee wasn't, he'd be back too.
Maybe. There's a few others who I think, you know, coming back.
Yeah.
But
I definitely think with that whole aspect, we're very quickly approaching within the next year, it's going to be like that era where people went back and forth between WWF and WCW.
Fine. Let's not announce every little fucking thing, though. Just have them just show up. It'd be much better.
Yeah. So just, oh, no, this person's back. Whatever. Like, just do it. They're back. Like, and then move on. You know, we don't need some whole backstory and
I don't need to know that their contract expired, but I'm gonna find out about that, and then 30 minutes later they're gonna be on fucking Raw.
Yeah.
Or vice versa.
Yeah. So we'll see a lot of that, I think.
It's definitely gonna happen. I think within that year.
Yeah. Well, I also think like we'll see another AEW star come over when their contract's over. Probably a big one at some point, I'm guessing. Especially with Trips in Charge, I feel like. Because we've only had, what, Cody, really?
Cody's the only one who's jumped so far, yeah. But that wasn't even Trips.
Yeah. Which is true.
Trips has been in charge.
Yeah. So, but I wouldn't be surprised if he tried to grab somebody on from their side, you know.
It'll happen soon.
One of their homegrowns is going to leave eventually, basically, is what I'm saying, I guess.
Yeah.
So we'll see what goes on there.
Just kind of see who it is.
Yep.
Britt fucking Baker.
Probably. Something stupid like that. I wouldn't be surprised, like, I don't know. It's not going to be like Kenny Omega, though.
It's not going to be Omega. You never know.
You never know, which is true. Never say never, I guess, but I don't feel like that's as likely as, you know.
No, I don't think it's likely, but I like I said, never say never.
True. All right, what else? You got anything else? Anything else you saw from this week that I didn't, obviously, maybe?
Not that I really recall. Like, I was just kind of skimming wrestling this week anyway.
Yeah.
Like I said, a break from wrestling a little bit.
Yep. It's been nice.
I got nothing.
All right,
so we're going to kick the king, and we'll come back with this stupid little game I just invented that I stole.
Well, that sounds fun.
Yeah, it's a little game I stole. I mean invented. Keep saying stole. It's the wrong word. I acquired. There you go.
There you go.
All right. I acquired this game for you to play. So I'll be back with that.
All right, cool.
All right.
All right.
Oh, yeah. Here we go. I am the king of old school. This is the Monday Night Rant on Mystery Wrestling Theater 420. As always, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and by all means, leave us a comment. This week, tell me what you're thinking about Triple H's job so far. I mean, it's only a couple days in, about a week in. What do you think? He's definitely had his fingerprints on this shit. So let me know what you're thinking about that. If not, go with the old standby. Hashtag shut up king. I really want this to trend. Really, really want this to trend. So I got some shit to talk about. Let's go move on. Try to do this pretty quickly. First off, I have been issued an assignment for the week. Apparently the guys want to veer away from wrestling, or at least their plan was to veer away from wrestling a little bit, because usually after SummerSlam things die out. However, this year is not one of those years. But I'm going to stick to, you know, I'm going to do the my assignment as well. But I'll touch on that towards the end. Right now, I want to get my rant out of the way because I do have a little bit to talk about with the new regime. First off, as we stated before, Triple H definitely had his hands involved in SummerSlam, altering a few things. Took out Seth Rollins, took out Riddle, he took added in Bayley and a few other pieces. So you definitely saw his hands, his fingerprints involved. So let's go to Monday night. Those two triple threat matches were incredible. The first one more so, have to admit to that. Second one wasn't as good to me, but was still impressive, very, very entertaining. I didn't see, on the second one at least, I didn't see Ciampa winning that. So, very, very impressed with what I've been seeing so far there. You know, you had Bayley come out with her new crew, another quick signing for Triple H, bringing Dakota Kai back. So that's going to be fun to watch them going forward. Definitely going to see them put up a fight there. Almost immediately turns into a six-man tag situation. So that's going to be very interesting. That's actually putting some interest into that women's division again, where it was so stale for a while. So let's hope that stays good. And it's not wasn't really that stale to begin with. I just didn't. I don't know, there's something about Bianca Belair with me, just, I don't like her. Seems boring in the ring to me. But oh well. Going on to the six-man tags, the triple threat matches, the two triple threat matches, AJ walks away with the first one. Wasn't overly surprising on that, but it was one hell of a match, wasn't it? That was fun to watch. In the second match, like I said, Ciampa walks away with victorious on the second one. So AJ and Ciampa later on in the match in the night went one-on-one to determine who was going to be the number one contender for Lashley's U.S. title. And how the hell did Ciampa walk away with this one? Wow. And that definitely has Triple H's fingerprints on it, because Ciampa is one of Triple H's signings, one of his boys, and he definitely wants to see Triple H. He definitely wants to see his boys succeed. So I think that this is going to end up being a stepping stone. I think it's going to turn into, if Ciampa does win against Lashley, you're going to immediately see The Miz turn on him and Ciampa turn face. I think that's how he's going to get rid of that duo. Desperately needs to go somewhere, because Ciampa needs to come back and back to his normal self, his NXT self. Going forward, you know, Edge feuding with the Judgment Day, that wasn't bad. Kind of saw that coming. I also see that group splitting up in the not too distant future. Either that or they're just going to go into the tag ranks. I don't see anything major with that unless Triple H splits them. Moving forward to SmackDown. Holy shit, huh? Anybody catch that? Wow. I mean, it was actually a good show. And then they did hype the Clash of the Castle between McIntyre and Reigns, which was obviously going to happen. But did anybody see Karrion Kross coming out at all? That one, Triple H kept that under wraps, didn't he? Holy shit. He brought him out after bringing out Dakota Kai earlier in the, you know, on SummerSlam. And he says he's not done there. The thing with both of those was that they both signed hours before the event and nobody knew it was happening. Nobody saw it coming. So he is keeping shit from the internet trolls, which is incredible to me. Keep this shit hidden. Don't leak it. Make it special again. And he's doing a damn good job of it, in my opinion. One thing, though, as I am now going to contradict myself, reading online, there is a handful of other superstars that apparently were either released or left the WWE for their own reasoning that are in negotiations to come back now that Triple H is in charge. Apparently, names that I'm seeing are Bray Wyatt, Bo Dallas, Johnny Gargano, and there's a handful of others, but those were the big names that I saw that were actually in negotiation. There are a handful of others that will be talked to. Also says that Triple H has reached out to both Sasha Banks and Naomi about putting their past behind them and working towards improving the future. This was the exact wording on the website. So it leads me to believe that those were the words of Triple H and the talent coordinator aspect of it. So I'm hoping if that works, that's going to be an incredible fuck you to Vince McMahon and his regime. If he brings those two back, he's already doing that. Now, I did not watch Raw last night. I have to admit, this is Tuesday morning. I did not watch Raw last night. I actually went to bed really early for me. So I'll be watching that at some point through the day today. So I don't know what happened. So no spoilers, in case anybody else is like me. One more thing. This is something that I read, but I'm questioning online, is that Triple H is also in talks with a handful of AEW superstars, former WWE NXT superstars that went to AEW, that he is in talks with them about coming back to the WWE. They said possibly in some sort of a talent exchange. Now, I know the talent exchanges happened between ECW and WWE in the 90s. And it supposedly happened between WCW and WWE in the 90s as well. But it was never confirmed. And with the forming of the NWO and all of that, nobody knows if it was true to begin with or if it was just coincidence that things happen the way they did. But if this is the situation, I'd love to see it happen. One of the names definitely on that was definitely on that list, and the top name on that list was Keith Lee. Keith Lee was on the list. I believe it says Ruby Soho was on the list. I don't see either of them moving anytime soon because they're both in the middle of a storyline. I think the only way that Keith is going to move is if they drop the belts and Swerve turns on him. But yeah, there were a couple of others, but those were the two big names that I noticed. Adam Cole was also on that list, but I don't now that I'm going back on my notes. But I get this feeling Adam Cole's not going anywhere. I think that I think they're gonna do something there. With I get a feeling he's gonna be getting a push soon. So hopefully we'll see what happens. We'll see what Triple H can do. Like I said, I haven't watched Raw, so let's see if there's any surprises in store for me this week. Moving on to my, well, before I do that, there was a bit of wrestling history going on in the past week or so. Sad history. We had the anniversary of the passing of Roddy Piper, as well as the anniversary of the passing of Nikolai Volkov, both great 80s heels. Roddy Piper, just one of the greats in general. Looking on, you had the anniversary of the formation of the Mega Powers. I remember freaking out about that when I was a child. That one, definitely one of the hugest moments of all time, in my opinion, in wrestling history. So yeah, there is a couple other things, but I'll get to that in a couple seconds. Before moving on to my assignment, I'm going to talk about the douchebag of the day. Now, I got two nominees. First off is one that I'm questioning. Is he a douchebag or does he have a good point? Apparently, superstar Billy Graham ripped the holy shit out of Ric Flair and called it a, and had a whole bunch of shit to say. Called it a travesty all about the last match, saying that Ric Flair was greedy. Ric Flair's going against everything that medical professionals have told him. Stop drinking, get out of the ring, blah, blah, blah. And he's not doing either of those, and he's flaunting it all over the place. And not only that, but as I said before, Ric Flair wants to get back in the ring again and have one last WWE match. You've already played that game, but, you know, you played that game in the WWE. You just played this game over the weekend. What the fuck else do you want to do, buddy? Okay, anyway. So, Billy Graham, questioning if he's screaming at the wall, if he has a good point on that. I believe I shared that on our on the Facebook page, Beatles Shitty Wrestling, Beatles Shitty World of Combat Sport, whatever the fuck it's called these days. I think I shared it there. If I didn't, I will be sharing it there later on. So check it out. See what you think about it. Drop me a comment. Moving on to the actual nominee for douchebag, Virgil. Wow, when was the last time anybody thought about Virgil? So apparently he was on a podcast being interviewed, or something like that, being interviewed. And they asked him about the ring rats, pretty much. And they asked him, you know, did you get any similar to what Ric Flair says he's gotten? Virgil then responds, I've probably slept with about a million girls in my career, all around the world. Really, dude? Really? Now, you do realize that, you know, there's, first off, let's put it this way. You look like somebody shaved a monkey. Okay? And that's not a race thing. That's a fucking you're ugly thing. Okay? So, you are not talented. You can't talk. How the fuck did you sleep with anybody? Did you fucking drug them? Was it your right hand in a wig? I mean, really, what's going on there? So, yeah, and I'm paraphrasing this, but the million girl part, that's real. He did say that. That's the legitimate. I can't remember the exact quote, but I'm paraphrasing it. But holy shit, dude. Really? I mean, I don't even think Wilt Chamberlain, Bill Russell, Anthony Cromartie, all those guys combined slept with a million women. Hell, even if Ric Flair is true with what he says he's done in the past, I don't think if you throw him into that list that he's even slept with a million women. I mean, really, come on, Virgil. Give it up. You're not even screaming at the wall. You're like in some room somewhere. You're lost in a fucking center of the room, can't find your wall. Give it up. Just go somewhere, sit alone at your table, charge $1 million for your autograph that nobody wants, and, you know, go away. Okay, time for my assignment. Guys all have their own thing they're going to talk about. I was assigned View Askew. Anybody that doesn't know what that is Kevin Smith movies, more so the Jay and Silent Bob movies. I have to admit, Clayton did get me into those back in the day. I did like them beforehand, but Clayton got me more into them, showed me a couple of the other ones that I had not seen yet. I remember recovering from surgery, and Clayton brought me Clerks 2. That one, fucking hysterical. So, can't wait for Clerks 3 to come out myself. I have not seen Jay and Silent Bob, the reboot. I want to. It's on my list. Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. That was a good one, but I prefer the Clerks movies myself. Dogma was good. Dogma was actually really good. That's one of those ones that when I can catch it, I do watch it. That's just unfortunately with a young one at home, I cannot put that one on unless she's in bed or not home. So, yeah. One thing I do have to admit is that if it doesn't have Jay and Silent Bob in it, when it comes to Kevin Smith, it's usually not that good. I've seen bits and pieces of Tusk. I don't know whether to take that as a parody of a horror movie or what. Is it supposed to be so cheesy it's funny? Because in those little clips that I've seen, that's my take on it. And is it supposed to... Unless it's not supposed to be like that, then I feel bad. And I don't know. It just doesn't appeal to me, so I don't really want to watch it. His other shit that he's done, I believe he had one movie with Jennifer Lopez. I did sit through that one. I cannot think of anything. And yeah, that wasn't very good. Was it Jersey Girl? Now that I'm thinking, it would make sense. Smith is from Jersey. I don't know. I have watched a few of his episodes of The Comic Book Men. That I actually find entertaining, even though I'm not big into comic books and shit anymore. But from what I've seen, that actually was entertaining. I have seen that. I have not done the View Askew Smodcast. I've listened to bits and pieces of it online. It's good depending on who he has for a guest, but you know, nothing really made me want to subscribe to it or, you know, keep following it. But yeah, I mean, he's incredible guy. I have to admit, I actually did watch the Kevin Smith version of He-Man and the Masters of the Universe on Netflix. That's what, 2 seasons in, going into a third, if I'm not mistaken. That was actually really good. I was a little hesitant towards that, thinking that it was going to suck and he's going to kill my childhood. But I did watch it, got pissed off at the first episode, got pissed off at the last episode, but it kept me interested enough to keep watching it, and it actually wasn't that bad. It should be noted as a standalone, but I liked it better than the other 2 Masters of the Universe reboots. 3, shall I say, reboots. But, you know, you kind of forget that, you know, He-Man in Space one, because, you know, that kind of wasn't good. But, yeah. One thing that I would like to see, honestly, is I would like to see Kevin Smith going in, doing another animated movie. And doing another animated movie, I want to see him do a take on Batman. He is a huge Batman fan. His daughter is Harley Quinn Smith. I mean, come on. So I'd like to see him write a Batman movie. I think he would be better suited for an animated Batman movie, but I'd like to see him do that. And that's my take on that. You know, I think that he'd be incredible on it. And yeah, I think that would definitely be best suited for him. Quick little story. Kevin Smith related. Yesterday, I actually had a cable guy at my house to repair a down wire. And the guy was hysterical. He was funny as shit. And no lie, the guy kept saying that he had worked Saturday so he could take an extra day off this week, and he wanted to take today off, Monday, yesterday. And the poor guy was out in the heat, putting up doing wiring out to the street because apparently the wire snapped out on the pole. And he comes in my house and multiple times within a 5-minute period, and I'm not even supposed to be working today. And so I had to say, you know, I had to comment on his Dante Hicks quote. He did not know what I was talking about. I was so disappointed, not gonna lie. So with that said, I'm gonna throw it back to Big Mix and Clayton. Have fun, you two porch monkeys. It's okay. I'm taking it back. But before I do, I'd like to give you a quote from Silent Bob. Words to live by, wasn't it? Okay. With that said, I'm done talking to myself. Bye.
What's going on, y'all? It's your neighborhood bake shop here, MHSL Bake. And you are now rocking with the Mystery Wrestling Theater 420 podcast. Those are my guys over there. Make sure y'all tap in anytime they drop. You know what I mean? Good peoples. Good topics. Great puns. Yeah, man. Check them out. Mystery Wrestling Theater 420 podcast. Check them out because Bake said so. Money high, stress low. That's the motto. You listening to Save You in the background featuring my artist I-93 Carry On. Make sure y'all check out the new music.
What up?
All right, so we're back with my game that I acquired.
Yes.
I have three wrestlers. You are going to guess who they are based on their accomplishments.
Oh.
You have three guesses. If you don't, I'll give you one accomplishment. You say either next or you guess somebody. You have three guesses.
Okay.
So it'd be like five accomplishments that I'll name out for you, and then you tell me who you think it is.
Okay.
Sounds pretty simple, right?
Yeah, it's probably going to go horribly wrong, but that's okay.
It might. You never know.
All right.
Ready for the first one?
Okay.
He is a one-time Ironman Heavy Metalweight Championship DDT Pro Wrestling.
Okay, next.
I knew that was going to happen. He is a two-time Lucha Underground Championship.
Huh. Have a few ideas, but next.
He is a 3-time IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Championship.
Oh. Okay. Next.
No guesses, huh?
Nope, not yet.
He's a 1-time WWE Intercontinental Champion.
Huh. Okay.
Okay.
John Morrison?
Not John Morrison. Good guess.
Okay.
Lucha Underground. Good one.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, he was kind of a little bit of everywhere for a minute, so that's my first thought. All right.
I will give you one more.
Okay.
He's a 1-time NXT North American champion.
An Intercontinental champion, too?
Yep. How do you want better? He's a U.S. champion, too.
U.S., Intercontinental, and North American.
Yeah. And DDT Pro and Lucha Underground.
Yeah, and the Lucha Underground. Who the fuck? Why? Who am I not thinking of?
Judy
Jackson. Who the hell am I not thinking of?
Anything else I give you wanted to help you anyway, so.
I. Oh, wow. Wow. I'm trying to think of all the North American champions that were also up on the main roster. Finn Balor?
It is not Finn Balor. The correct answer is Ricochet.
Oh, fuck. See? I should have known that. I should have known that.
Lucha Underground.
Because he's like Puma or whatever, right? Or something like that on Lucha Underground. That's white. All right. I should have had that one.
Are you ready for this one?
All right. Next wrestler.
NWA Mid-Atlantic Heavyweight Championship. 3 times.
Okay, next.
NWA WCW United States Heavyweight Championship 6 times.
Okay, next.
The Lou Fez Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame 2013.
Okay, next.
The International Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame in 2021.
Oh, this has got to be somebody old. Who held that fucking North American one a lot?
Ready for next clue?
Yeah, just give it to me, and then I'll make a couple guesses.
WWE World Tag Team Championship 3 times.
A tag team championship in WWE and a U.S. champion in WCW. Shit. And he went into the international in 2021 and the other one in 2013.
Yep.
Why is this so fucking hard?
I don't know. Not a clue.
It could be like a few people.
Here's another clue.
All right.
WWE Hall of Fame in 2008.
2008, early.
Also WWE Hall of Fame in 2012.
Oh, so they went in with the group, too. Who the fuck?
1-time Royal Rumble winner. I'm not going to tell you the year.
Oh. Who only won 1 time? Who only won 1 time? Because that already eliminates, like, so many people.
Man, those old fucking days.
And NWA people, too. Ric Flair?
Ric Flair, very good job. I didn't even know super easy ones, like WCW champion 7 times.
Yeah, no, that obviously, yeah. Because at first I was like, oh, what is this? It's like Dusty Rhodes or something, and then a few things threw it off, and I'm like, tag team champ. So he went in on his own and as a group. Because when you said 08, I'm like, oh, yeah, I was thinking Ric Flair. And then 2012 with the group, and I was like, all right, never mind. I know who it is. And then the 1-time Royal Rumble really sealed it, because I remember he won the one in 92.
Yeah, I said I couldn't do a year, because I knew if I said the year, you'd have it right away.
Yeah. All right, there's one more, right?
Yep, third and final. 1-time. IWGP Intercontinental Champion. That's a relatively new title, and it's already gone.
Yeah. All right, next.
One-time ECW World Television Championship.
Is this ECW, ECW, or WWE, ECW?
Yeah, I'm not telling you that.
All right, next.
Yeah, no.
Next.
One-time WCW World Television Champion.
Okay. Next.
Four-time WCW Cruiserweight Champion.
Oh. So we got IWGP Intercontinental Cruiserweight Television Champion for ECW and WCW. Like Raven? No, that doesn't make sense. Not Raven.
That's your first guess. Okay, moving on to the next clue.
Yeah.
One time WWF European Champion.
Like, I want to say somebody, but I don't think he was on WCW, so that doesn't make sense. So I'm not going to say him. European champion, too, huh?
Yep.
Fuck. They were also a television champion in ECW and WCW. William Regal?
Nope, not William Regal. That's your second guess.
Yeah, all right.
WWE World Heavyweight Champion 3 times.
Who the fuck started down? It was only television level and then became a world fucking champion.
You're going to kick
Chris Benoit?
Not Chris Benoit.
I don't know.
This one, you're going to get it from. One-time AEW World Champion.
Who the fuck?
Really?
CM Punk?
No, that was third guess. I'll give you one more. I'll give you one more.
No, because CM Punk wasn't in WCW. That was stupid. Who?
I'll give you one more clue. You have to get it from this one. WWE Intercontinental Champion 9 times.
Oh, fucking Jericho. How could I not think about Jericho? The AEW should have gave that away. And I'm like, CM Punk. Like, what? I'm like, oh, fuck me. That was bad. Yeah, that one definitely gives it away because that's like what everyone remembers him for. Because it's like he had the most. Although I don't know, Miz has got to be close to that now.
Miz has to be close to that. I'm not looking it up.
No, but Jesus, that was bad. I should have got that one. that was a fun game, though.
It's from AEW. I mean, some of the other ones were like, I kind of just like one time this. Like, who the fuck should go every fucking SC champion ever?
Like, I can't, yeah, like, because you don't remember every, like, TV television champion from ECW and WCW ever. You just like, okay, that doesn't do a lot for me, but I get it.
Okay, next time I'm going to do, like, the 24/7 champion and hardcore champion.
Yeah.
There's a lot of those.
Yep.
We're back next week. I think we're together next week.
Yes, we are together.
It is our 2-year birthday special.
Yes, it is.
Well, we're going to be playing nothing but stupid fucking games and getting high.
That sounds fun to me, actually. So
yeah, so that's what we're doing. Getting high and playing these stupid fucking games.
That works.
All right. Cool. Well, until then, motherfucking deuces.
Peace.